Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Josh Wigler here with a very special edition of Post Show Recaps covering Arcane, the Netflix animated fantasy series based on the League of Legends franchise. Patrons of Post Show Recaps have already received this podcast, but you're getting it now as well. Did you watch Arcane when it came out in November of 2021? Have you just found out about it because a wild Arcane podcast has appeared in your feed? Well, you're in luck because we have Arcane podcasts for you. Originally released for the patrons of Post Show Recaps, what you are about to listen to is our Arcane coverage from DM Philly, aka R Philly, aka Rich Filiberto, as well as his intrepid co-host Adam Humphrey, both of whom are dungeon masters in the Post Show Recaps patron Dungeons and Dragons campaign. And they got together over the last several weeks to talk about Arcane, which is a really fun 9-episode series that, even if you're not an animation person and you're a huge fantasy fan, I strongly recommend you take a look at. So we already have 4 podcasts that are completely done. They were released for the patrons. They cover that full 9-episode run. We are going to release these daily for you here in the main feed for your listening pleasure. In case you watched Arcane and you wanted that coverage, or if you haven't watched it yet and you're looking for a new show to binge on Netflix, you can binge this whole thing and you can listen to these podcasts as well. It's a really, really fun time from Rich and Adam, and we wanted to make sure that you got a chance to listen to these as well. So if you enjoy what you hear on these podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to Post Show Recaps all week long at the very least so that you don't miss an episode of the Arcane coverage. In addition to that, this is a good time to let you know that we have a podcast feed for anybody who's out there binging shows on any of the many streaming platforms that are out there. PostShowRecaps.com/binge is going to be the RSS link that takes you to, wait for it, Binge Show Recaps, very creatively titled Binge Show Recaps, where we're going to be housing all of our Netflix coverage, Hulu shows, Amazon, you name it. If it's bingeable, we're going to put it in there. If it's one of these crazy week daily podcasts that we are doing, such as dropping a daily Arcane podcast in your feed for the next 4 days, or the Yellow Jackets podcast that myself, Jess Sterling, and Grace Leader have done, they will live in Binge Show Recaps as well. So if you can take a moment to go and seek out that feed, subscribe to it, rate it, review it wherever you get your podcasts, We would greatly appreciate it. And again, that RSS link, if you want to use that to find the podcast in your podcatcher of choice, is postshowrecaps.com/binge. If you like what you hear from Rich and Adam here and you want to get to know them a little bit more, maybe play some games with them as well, and your other favorite hosts here in the Post Show Recaps Network, you can absolutely do that by signing up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. I'm sure Rich and Adam will tell you about the patron experience at multiple times throughout these podcasts. In jokes are likely to come up. So just know that this was originally released for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. We hope that you want to become one at some point in time, even if it's not right now. We have a really fun time, a really supportive community, and everybody's waiting to meet you whenever that is, whether that's soon, later. If it's never, that's all good as well. We love having you out there in listener land. So I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to turn the mic over to Philly and Adam. And if you enjoyed Arcane, I know you're going to enjoy these podcasts. Without further ado, here's the preview show.
The new Netflix series, Arcane, is over. But we are just getting started. It's me, Rich Filiberto, DM Philly, out here in the mean streets of post-show recaps and the internet at large. I am here because I want to talk about the new TV show Arcane. It's not that new. It came out about a month ago now on Netflix. It was released in three separate drops of three episodes. So there's nine episodes up there. The whole series is sitting there waiting for you to binge. And I have begged our fearless leader, Josh Wigler, to let me cover it here for post-show recaps. But I am not alone, my friends. I have an excellent ally and stalwart companion with me. Adam, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing so good. I'm incredibly excited to be here. I've loved this stuff. I've loved following along. I've loved the show. And I didn't think I would have the opportunity to talk about it in any sort of setting here. So this is incredibly exciting.
This is super exciting. I think most folks listening to this probably are familiar with the pair of us to one form or another. But in case you are not, Adam and I are dungeon masters together. We are comrades in arms in the Post Show Recaps Discord. If you're signed up for this and listening to this, you may be at the $10 a month level. If you're not in the Discord, we implore you to come join us. We have a bunch of fun there, and we have become fast friends over the last year hanging out in there together. And one of the things we discovered early on is that we both love the game League of Legends. This immediately bonded us to one another. But so Arcane on Netflix is an adaptation of a video game. Adaptation's a strong word. League of Legends is a really big video game. You love it, Adam.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess love it is. I have a very love
hate
relationship
to
with
it.
Yes, I should. I need to stop playing it, but I can't. That's that's the classic trap we fall into with video games like this. But yeah, I've just played way too much League in my life, and all of the offshoots, the different game modes they have, the new teamfight tactics. I've just played way too much of it. But it has led me to amass a ridiculous amount of knowledge on a topic that I never thought would come in handy until now, until they made a TV show about this universe.
Well, it's going to come in handy for the next few weeks. So I'm getting ahead of myself, as I am prone to do. Adam and I, as friends and fans of this game, were excited when the show popped, and we both kind of watched it and we're talking back and forth about it a little bit with some of our friends in the Discord. And we got to a point where I was like, hey, we should podcast about this, because I bet we probably have a lot to say. And I think that first of all, the show is very, very good. While it is jumping off of the lore of this video game League of Legends, it has no requirement whatsoever that you know any of this stuff to get into it. There's been a lot of attention around it in the last couple of weeks as, is this the best adaptation of a video game that exists? It's really good TV, you guys. It is an animated show. Each episode is what, about 40 minutes, 45 minutes? Not quite an hour. You got nine episodes in total sitting over there. So this is the first of a series of podcasts. There's only going to be a handful. We think we're going to do three episodes, each one covering three episodes of the show. And this is our preview to inform the people out there, first of all, that this show exists, Arcane on Netflix. Second of all, we love it and are going to talk about it. And so third of all, you should go and watch it so you can come back and join us for this conversation. Because we've had like a blast talking to a bunch of our friends about it, and people seem like overwhelmingly have good things to say.
I think one of the things that has maybe surprised me the most is how much people who know absolutely nothing about League of Legends or the universe of Runeterra just love the show. It's amazed me because I have a lot of friends that I've been playing League with for so long that also love the show, and they get all these references and they get the stuff. But then I have a ton of people that have just come on totally blind of any of the backstory, and they've fallen in love with it. They've fallen in love with the storytelling, the characters, the setting, the way they've done the animation, everything. I would highly recommend this to everyone, especially if you've never played League of Legends. I think it's like, you know, just as fascinating of a world to jump into, and they do it in such a way where you're able to jump into it without, you know, hitting your head on the bottom.
I can't echo the sentiment enough. I'm going to date us a little bit, but it's the weekend after Thanksgiving. And so with the holidays coming up, I know there's a lot of binge watching that happens while people are on vacation. And that's why I thought this was like a good time. Let's jump on this and get this out there for folks, because I think a lot of people are going to discover this show. There is a lot going on in the zeitgeist about it. And so I wanted to like give an opportunity for people who want to like deep dive and kind of talk a little bit more about it and don't have folks in their lives that are watching it, to like create a space for that to occur. So this, consider your formal warning. You guys should go watch Arcane. It's really, really freaking good. You and I, Adam, we play a ton of D&D together, and we're both dungeon masters, right? So there's a lot of like world building, creation. We talk a lot about like building stories together, right? And I think part of what resonates so well is just how awesomely this show does that, right? For people that have no clue what they're getting into, you're going to catch your vibes pretty quickly once you get in there. It's a very real, well-realized world. It's got some really fun and compelling characters right out of the gate. And it just like hits the screen like fully formed, you know? There's real excellence there. So we're not going to talk about the episodes yet, because presumably a bunch of people might be listening to this who haven't watched, and this is us trying to get you excited to go watch it so we could talk about the episodes with you. What I did want us to talk about today, Adam, is how we found League of Legends. Why don't you tell me like your origin story? I love a good origin story.
Gosh, okay, so this takes me back, and it's going to date me as well, but probably not in the way that would normally date someone. So I started playing League of Legends, I believe it was in 2011. It was either 7th or 8th grade for me. After school, I would, like, go to my friend's house, and we there was, like, three or four of us, and we would all, you know, set up our computers, we would, you know, make some snacks or whatever, and then we would just, like, play for hours after school. That's, like, what we would do. Like, all year. That's, like, what happened. And, you know, it's just, like, the same game over and over again, and we loved it, but we hated it. It was a ton of fun, but, you know, it always causes, like, lots of frustration. But so I've been playing this game for like a decade now. It came out in 2010. I got on like right, you know, pretty close to the beginning, and then have been playing, you know, pretty much ever since. I've been playing a long time. I've played a lot of League of Legends of my life. And I think it was the combination of the game itself, as well as the story behind it, and the sort of all of the corresponding lore behind the game. And so this is not a recommendation to start playing the game. I do not recommend that at all, even if you did like Arcane. But one of the things that I do love about the game, I think we'd be like a little remiss to not talk about the game a little bit here. One of the things that I like about the game is that it starts off on a clean slate for everyone. Everyone starts off with the same stuff. And so you can play different people and do different stuff, but you're all starting at the same place. And then the game happens. And then after the game is done, you go back and you start at the same place again.
Yep. Yeah. It's worth probably stopping down for a moment before like I get into like my origin point with League. But League of Legends is a MOBA, they're called, a massive online battle arena. The whole genre of games was kind of born out of Warcraft 3. Not World of Warcraft, but the old ones, Warcraft. Warcraft 3 is like a beloved game in the gaming zeitgeist. Without Warcraft 3, you never get World of Warcraft and all the stuff that follows after it. But it was a game that you could mod. It was moddable. And so a bunch of people modded it, and they came up with this version of it where Dota, Defenders of the Ancients. Some of you folks in the gaming world may like know some of these terms, right? So Dota 1 was a user-built mod for Warcraft 3, and it got hugely popular. Dota 2, now its own game, also a MOBA, a battle arena. It's one of the biggest games on like the Steam platform, incredible kind of tournaments every year, big money in the esports scene. So League of Legends is born out of this love of Dota. It's 2009 that I think the developers start working at it. It drops 2010, like Adam is saying. So structurally, for people who have no clue what this game is and have a little bit of interest, basically it's player versus player. You're in a team of five people. You're playing against another team of five people. You load into a square map, and there's kind of three lanes. Each one of the bases, there's a base in the bottom left corner and a base in the top right corner, and there are three lanes that connect the bases to each other. One of them like runs up the left side and then the top. One of them runs along the bottom and then up the right side of the square, if you could track this visual interpretation in the audio medium. And then a line diagonal from the bottom left to the top right corner, right? So now you can imagine these three lines. Essentially, what happens is you have a couple of towers defending your base in each one of these lanes, and minions spawn and push down the lanes into the minions from the other base. And your goal here is to attack the enemy's base and destroy their nexus. So like Adam is saying, every game that you queue into League of Legends, you start the game, you pick one of what's now like 150 different champions, and then you load in with the other people on your team, the other four players, right? And you're working as a team of five to try to push to the other side of the map and destroy the opponent's base. Ultimately, each of these champions, they're pretty simple. They only have like three abilities, four really with their ultimates. And this whole game is kind of like a very sophisticated sort of Rochambeau, Adam. I don't know if that's like an appropriate way to describe it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. Everyone can kind of do their own thing, and you know, you're making moves, they're making moves. You're trying to do X, they're trying to do, you know, Y.
And you're like picking for counterplays, right? Like, oh, they picked this champion, so I'm going to pick this champion because it works good against them. Oh, they're going for like this kind of game strategy, so we need to play this kind of strategy to counter them, you know? It's a very dynamic game. Now, I'm just going to echo your sentiments. If you've watched Arcane and fallen in love, don't start playing League. This is not a game like The Witcher that's got a deep story, or even like a Final Fantasy. It's not a role-playing game where you're going to get a deep tale that's told. It's not really a terrific single-player experience. You know, it's much more fun playing with friends. We have a whole crew in post-show recaps that we play with semi-regularly, but there's a bunch of us who play together. Now, what's like fascinating is when this game dropped, the champions all have a bunch of lore associated with them. And there's like all this history about this world, but none of that stuff is really important to the actual games that we play. Ultimately, the game is just 40 minutes of you like smashing up against this enemy team and trying to kill them so you can run down the lane and capture their base, right?
Yeah, I mean, the lore could not have any less of an impact on the game if it tried. It's fascinating stuff. It's like, it's amazing to read. I've fallen in love with it, but in terms of the game itself, It doesn't matter.
It's very disconnected. Me too. So like Adam, I find the game very early on. Also 2011. Ironically, like it was my World of Warcraft guild. I was like an end game progression World of Warcraft raider to surprise nobody out there who knows who I am. And after we were done with raid nights, a handful of us would like hang out after the raid. And one of my buddies was like playing something one night. I'm like, where are you? You logged out of Warcraft. He's like, yeah, I'm playing League. I'm like, what is that? League of Legends. So he invited me in and we started playing, and I just very quickly became obsessed, I think is the right word. And part of it is because of the character design. It's like so evocative, right? There's all these cool archetypes. Even if you don't know who the people are, you see the imagery and it's very, it just jumps off the page. And it became kind of a like ceremony for me every night. We would go on our Warcraft raids. Afterwards, we'd get together and play League deep into the night. Just one more game. The famous meme amongst League players is like, can't end the night on a loss.
Yeah.
Just one more game until the sun comes up, you know, and you're like, I gotta go to work in 20 minutes. Just one more game. Anyway, it's a really dynamic experience, and it can be fun, though it can be very frustrating. The player base has a reputation as being not terrific. People are kind of harsh on you. I became very into the esports scene, Adam, because I'm not good at League. I'm terrible, like really terrible. I've still kept playing it for 10 years. Not sure why, but it does keep me coming back for more. But I got really into the esports scene, and it's huge. League of Legends, for a long time, most played game in the world. Have you ever watched any of the esports stuff or no?
I have. The past like couple years, I've gotten a little bit more into it. I was never, you know, big into it previously, but I followed the Cloud9 run to Worlds a couple of years back when they, I think they got fourth. So I've like followed it a little bit, but I haven't, I've never like watched consistently like weekly or anything like that. They're just, I always just get mad because like there are these people that are now younger than me who yep. are playing just so much better than I could ever oh, yep. play at the same game. And you know, the thing that I love about it resets right at the start, but like it resets for them too, and they still are able to
yep.
do so much better. But it is very cool to see people like do that at the highest level, you know, like any other sport that you would watch. So I do like it.
That's the only reason I mention it, because the esports scene is like not at all important to the show. We're going to talk about the TV show, and I promise you, not the game. But the reality is that, you know, the game is the jumping off point. And for me, the esports side of it really kept me invested in League for a lot of years, because I was never a traditional sports guy. My dad, big sports guy, grew up watching baseball, football, hockey, all the sports. And they never like connected with me. These were not games that I fell in love with the way I would fall in love with a video game or Dungeons and Dragons or any of this kind of stuff. So having something that I understood deeply in League of Legends and enjoyed playing but knew I was bad at, my understanding of the game is good enough that I know how bad I am. So to see these young folks playing at that level of excellence just was delightful to me. It was the first sort of sports experience that I finally got it and was like, now I understand why the Super Bowl is like the most watched event on television every year, because like there's something really fun about seeing people that are that good at this thing that you love. Nonetheless, the lore of the world, it's a really wild place. Runeterra is the name of the world, right, Adam?
Yes, it's Runeterra. It's a fascinating place.
Yeah. Now, you and I, when we first met in our like little Dungeons and Dragons corner, you hit me up and were like, hey, I'd love to DM a little bit. I've been playing a bunch of D&D in a game that my DM is running set in Runeterra in the League of Legends world. Why don't you just touch on that for a little bit?
Yeah, so I mean, the epitome of me being a nerd, right, has to be playing Dungeons and Dragons in the League of Legends universe.
I badly want to play in this game, Adam. Like, I so much want to play in it now.
It was
like,
so yeah. much fun. So it was sort of our second campaign of D&D. We had done a campaign before, we had, you know, finished that, and then we started a new one set in Bilgewater, which is another one of the places in Runeterra. And I can talk about the different places of Runeterra in just a minute, but when we played in D&D, Our whole campaign was like centered around the different political structures and ideologies of the places in Bilgewater with the champions that we've been playing with in League of Legends. And so we would like, there was this, you know, giant power structure between Gangplank, who was on one side, and like Miss Fortune, who was on the other side. And we would like have to be making deals with Twisted Fate and with Graves and like go to different places and try and, it was just very fascinating.
That's so
how
we
ran
cool.
It. It was amazing.
It's worth stopping down to say like, so these are all champions that like, you know, they're amongst 150 little rock, paper or scissors that you pick to play the game with, right? Gangplank is like this pirate lord. Bilgewater is the pirate city, right? Gangplank very infamously. Now, so again, this game came out 2010. That's a long time ago now. We're crawling up on 12 years, right? So a lot of the art was outdated. A lot of the initial stuff, like, again, this became the most played game in the world. Peak viewers like really were incredible. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I'll dig them up as we talk here. But they, once the game got hugely successful, they started coming back updating a lot of stuff. And Gangplank got a full update and like a visual rework, right? Where they gave him new art that looked a lot sharper. They gave him new voice lines. And the voice of Gangplank is none other than the Dungeon Master himself, Matthew Mercer. And it's just like so evocative and powerful. So there's all this like connective tissue. If you're a person who loves fantasy, science fiction, especially let's say steampunk as a genre, you will really dig Arcane, because part of what's so cool about Runeterra is that it's a fantasy world, and there's a lot of the traditional fantasy stuff, the like classic kind of kingdoms, matriarchs, patriarchs, wizards. You got your Rises out there in the world, right? But then there's like and we get our like kind of Game of Thrones high level politicking, as you're talking about, just in Bilgewater alone, this notion of like the pirate lord and the pirate hunter and the gambling master, and like there's all these different people at play. All the kingdoms have like interplay with each other, some benevolent, some nefarious. But at the end of the day, Arcane focuses on Piltover, which the city of progress. Am I getting that right, Adam?
It is indeed the city of progress. Yeah. Situated on the northern continent in Runeterra. I, to be honest with you, Rich, I love all of the like the sort of geographical and political tension of the different like empires of Runeterra. Of course, like that shouldn't surprise anyone that I would love that kind of stuff. But
I love it as well. Let's like deep dive it. Let's nerd out a little bit. So if our show is going to be in Piltover, we could talk about Piltover a bit. But like, where's your favorite place? Where do you like? Where does your heart lie in Runeterra?
It's just, again, surprise absolutely no one that my heart lies in Freljord. I, of course, love the Freljord. And so sort of the whole vibe is like this harsh, frozen land, very like tribalistic type situation going on there. All just focused on like surviving the terrain. And it's like easily one of my favorite regions. It has a lot of my favorite champions to play.
Do we have from there? We have Tryndamere, Ash,
Braum, Anivia, who's like my favorite.
My favorite as well. Adam and I will often like, we'll be in a game together and Anivia gets picked. Adam gets Anivia and I'm like, do you want to? You want to trade that? Anivia is like an ice phoenix, right? So she's this bird made of ice that when you die, which I die a lot, you guys, because I'm not good. He's better than me. But you turn into an egg and you kind of rehatch over a couple of seconds in the middle of this like crazy fight is happening. And you're like a little egg, like your heart pounded in your chest while you wait for the
protect
countdown.
The like, egg, come on, give
It's the frozen north, right? Barbarian king, the archer queen. We have all these really fun, evocative characters out of Freljord.
But I think like the thing that does it for me with all of Runeterra is like how they play together. And so just south of Freljord is Demacia.
I love Demacia.
Like military might and tradition, like very classic high fantasy, like big lawful good energy.
Yeah, huge lawful good energy from Demacia. This is like the kingdom of kingdoms. Yeah.
And you know, they like, you know, they're trying to like, you know, stay firm in what they're doing. They have like some stuff going on with Freljord. And then, you know, on that same continent over on the other side. So this is the same continent that Piltover's on. I'm probably doing a very poor job describing this. So Piltover's sort of on the southeast side of this continent. Demacia is on the southwest. Freljord is in the north. And then over fully on the east side of this continent is Noxus.
Love Noxus. Now, I hate to admit it, but Noxus is where my heart lies at.
Really?
I was a Swain main for many years. Swain is this kind of like a banged up kind of noble lord. He's got a cane. He hobbles around. He's got real big like Russian oligarch energy with the hat and the fur cloak, and he's got a crow on his shoulder. And for his ultimate, he gets all jacked up and he turns into like this horrific werecrow and drains everybody's life. And it's like, yeah, I just for Swain. I honestly don't care about anybody else in Noxus, but I love Swain.
Yeah, King Draven, Darius over there as well. But the whole, so the whole purpose of Noxus, right? Their whole goal is like this expansionist. They're sort of like the other side of the same coin of Demacia, where Demacia is all like this high fantasy, and Noxus is all about we want it all. It's all about war. It's all about power. And so, like, it's really interesting to me that they chose Piltover, because Piltover and Zaun is like on this edge of this continent where there's like a lot of stuff happening all around. And so you have like this tension from Noxus, which we get a little bit of in the show. We have all this stuff over from Demacia. They're involved in a lot of like the trading and like all the different politicking that's happening there. But that's like this just one continent of Runeterra. And then we keep going east. We get to Ionia, sort of this like peaceful and isolated island. It was sort of the start of Runeterra, where everything came from. Very big, like, nature energy, and
it has some,
you know, one with the wind vibes.
Yeah, it has some big like ancient Eastern Empire energy, right? We get a lot of like ninjas, these very cool kind of you get a lot of like really cool like Asian influenced characters that are coming out of Ionia. Ionia is really like fascinating. I love my Kenan and Aurelia, like some of those. There's some very Akali, cool
Shen,
Akali's like elite.
And so that's sort of like the major continent of Runeterra. However, I think it's also like important to note the other continent that's just below it. So Piltover and Zaun are sort of on this little outlet on the southeastern side of this upper continent. And then just below them, the continent has mainly Shirima. And so this barren desert filled with like magical, mystical beings. They have like the sun disk there. It's like, you know, very ancient, like desert vibes there, which is very cool. There's a lot of like really cool stuff that comes from there. Notably, and you know, we can get into some of the differences between what the lore is and what the show actually says. It is where Skarner is from. It's from Shirima, which has a big implication in terms of the crystals, the Hextech crystals that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so Skarner is this crystalline scorpion, right? He's like this kind of crystal amalgamation of like a scorpion monster, right? And yeah, I'd love to hear you kind of dig into that like a little bit more, the implication of like the crystals.
So So it's really interesting. So Piltover, obviously we haven't talked about it a ton, but the whole idea of the City of Progress, they're focused on an experimentation and science and trying to improve the systems around them. And one of the ways that they do it, for better or for worse, there's a lot of like really messed up stuff in Runeterra, but it's through the exploitation of resources from other places. And so one of those resources is crystals from Shirima, specifically from Skarner. And so one of the things that they've done is sort of they've infiltrated these caves. They've attempted to find these crystals. And that's where we get Hextech from in the established lore. Obviously, things are a little different here in the show. And so there's, you know, I've seen some like good and bad things come out of like their changes there. But that's where Hextech originally comes from in the lore, is from these caves of Shirima, where we have these crystalline creatures that they've harvested to take them from for energy to power their great inventions, their great experimentations.
That's intense and interesting footnote for folks who are about to like dive in. Keep note of the crystals. Keep your eye on the Hextech. Piltover, very, very cool place. The City of Progress. Like, part of what I loved, again, just to say it again, about League of Legends is how it hits on all these kind of awesome, evocative fantasy ideas, right? We get this ancient Eastern Empire. We get a sort of like a Middle Eastern type analog in like Shirima, right? A lot of like very cool cultural things that are being put forth there. The Great North of like the Freljord, these classic kind of good and evil kingdoms, and Demacia and Noxus, right? And then Piltover and Zaun are like tied kind of intrinsically together. And Piltover stands out. When you jump into the champion selection for League of Legends and you start looking at all these characters, you see the Vikings and the archers, you see wizards, you see all these character types that like jump out at you. And then all of a sudden, here's like a lady with an awesome top hat and a gun, you know, and here's a dude with like a crazy like transforming weaponry, and like a little guy with like a bunch of like, you know, cannons and missiles and lasers, and this dude's got like bombs out the wazoo, and you're like, wait a minute, technology. I love this. It's a big you know, it's got big Final Fantasy VII energy. I always like point back to that because I am old and I remember when it came out, and it was a real paradigm shift in terms of incorporating technology in like these fantasy stories in a way where like we fuse these things, magic and technology. This is going to be a big theme of Arcane, without like saying too much more before folks get into it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So yeah, Piltover. What else should we know about Piltover if we're coming into Arcane for episode one?
I think like, well, and just to go back like a little bit, I think like the juxtaposition between the other places is even like bigger than kind of what we're saying too, because even down in that southern continent of Streama, we have Targon, these like mysterious mountains filled with like celestial energy on the western side. And then on the eastern side, it's called, I forget what it's called. It's like this, it's Ixtal. That's right. It's Ixtal. It's like this harsh jungle area.
Okay.
That's like filled with these like mystical magical side. But basically the point is that it's much more natural and much more like historically focused as opposed to like progress and invention. And then we go over a little bit further east. We get Bilgewater, which we've already talked about a little bit, like this
Love
lawless port city, big, you know, pirates.
Bilgewater, and then we go south. Like- Your and classic then, pirate
I
town.
Love Bilgewater
it's
so much.
So
yeah.
Cool.
So it's such a big place in my heart. And then we go a little bit further south and we get the Shadow Isles. So this like pure evil, like black mist, totally Ravenloft. Obviously, I like love this energy as well. Mm-hmm. But like when we think about like what you're talking about, this whole idea of invention, of progress, and this is like what Piltover is, comparatively to everything around it, it's like the only place that's focused on this technological advancement. And experimentation. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons why I think it was an amazing choice for them to pick Piltover and Zaun as the location for this, you know, for this series was because of like the possibilities that it has and the ramifications of it elsewhere. And so I'm like very excited to see, you know, where this goes. We'll talk about that, of course. But then I think like the other important part of Piltover is like what's happening there now. And so without even like, you know, spoiling anything really from the show, just sort of like established lore, the whole idea of Piltover and more importantly, Piltover and Zaun is that on top of the cliffs is Piltover, the city of progress, this the city of experimentation, of you know, scientific achievement is on top of, literally on top of Zaun.
Yeah,
which is sort of this like underground, very, you know, like you're saying, chempunk energy down there of like still very much science, but much more industrial and much more like, you know, pollution and, you know, poverty, crimes, underground, stuff like that.
I it's a great way to talk about it. I love that term, first of all. But yeah, bilge, or I'm sorry, Piltover, you're getting like this very steampunk energy of like brass and chrome and copper, right? And then you get down into Zaun and it's very chempunk. Yeah, very industrial, right? And it's very evocative of this notion that like you can create this kind of gleaming city on the hill, this city of progress, but like somewhere there have to be forges churning out smoke. Somewhere there have to be workers like covered in grime, building all this stuff to put your great chrome city up there in the sky, right? So it is this like very literal tale of two cities, right? We're playing like right into that. Now, before we like, we're digging into the lore, I just want to like really double down on this. None of this is important for you to enjoy the show, Arcane.
Yes.
We're talking about it because like we love it, right? And so if you want like a little bit better context of this world you're leaping into, like this is all that, but you could just turn episode one on having not remembered anything we just said. And I think it's pretty safe to say you're going to be swept up and transported. It's very well-crafted television. It's well-written. The animation may not be particularly your style, but it's good. It's really executed well. The lighting, the cinematography for an animated show blew me away. I know you've got plenty to say, not today, but about the music, right?
And
the musical themes. They did a lot of very interesting things with the music in this show. It's really good TV, you guys. For 9 episodes of like an animated show about a video game, I did not expect, even for a game that's like this dear to my heart, I did not expect to walk away from it like, wow, when's the next season? But I am like eager and excited. But before we dig too much further, as we're talking about Runeterra lore, I would be remiss if I did not ask you, what's a Yordle, Adam?
What is a Yordle? So canonically, they don't know. Is like the best way to answer it. There's like a little bit. Like a little bit to talk about. They are traditionally from what's called Bandle City.
Yeah, so, I love Bandle City.
That's like, you know, very much like this Yordle aesthetic. They're just like little short creatures, furry like creatures. And I love them so much, of course. But
not everybody in League of Legends is human, right? You're gonna meet a couple of like interesting characters. There's like you know, some folks that look like Egyptian gods. You got big crocodile dudes. You got basically like Set in the game. Here's like a you know, bird person. Anubis is over here. We already talked about Anivia, the beloved ice phoenix. But there's this whole categorization of people called the Yordles, and they're all tiny little folk. They're very, the males tend to be much more animalistic than the females. They have they have fur, some of them ride on dinosaurs, some of them transform into dinosaurs almost, some of them have bombs and cannons and like technological devices, some of them are tiny masters of evil. They're fantastic. There is like an instantly adorable and delightful aesthetic to the Yordles that if you're not going to play League of Legends, which don't, go search for Yordle art on Google and you will enjoy your hour as you look at like awesome fan art of Yordles. Yordles are one of my favorite things about League of Legends. And there's a pretty prominent character in Arcane who is a Yordle. So when you meet them and are like, what the hell is going on here? This person does not look like everybody else. Just remember that Adam and I warned you about the Yordles, and don't worry about it. Don't think too much about it. It's great. They're delightful.
There is also a Yordle cinematic that was released, I think, 2 years ago that is just ridiculously good. It's so much fun. I loved it. I would highly recommend it. I don't know what the actual link would be is, but if you look up like Yordle League cinematic, you could find it.
Well, so this is a great point. We've talked about all this lore, and you're talking about the map and the geography. Again, none of this stuff is relevant in a game. When you log into League of Legends to play, you go into that square map with the three lanes. There's a couple of different game modes. I'm being very reductive here for the sake of simplicity, but fundamentally, you go into that same square map every game. A game's anywhere between like 20 minutes and 45, generally, and you play against this other team. The geography of the world doesn't matter. The history of the characters doesn't matter, just the abilities you have in this game. And as you play, you level up and you get more items and you get tougher. By the end of the game, half an hour in, you're much stronger than you were at the start, and you win or you lose, and then you go start over again. You start your next game at level one with no items, and boom, here you go. Right. So it is this great reset. It can be a very like addictive play loop. It's really easy to like get sucked in. Just one more game can end on a loss, you know. But the lore has like had this interesting place in the game where a lot of it is released in cinematics, like you're talking about. A new champion comes out and they'll give you like a 3-minute teaser trailer. And as League became this worldwide phenomenon, more Riot, the company that makes League of Legends for years, this is the only game they made. Now, as we sit here in the fall of 2021, Riot, after the release and success of Arcane, came out with a whole slate of projects that they're working on. There's a ton of stuff that they've got out there now coming out. They're making an MMO. They're talking about a tabletop role-playing game. There's 5 or 6 other games out there. One of them just released on Steam. I forget the name of it, last week.
Yeah, I forget what that one's called. I know they have the card game, Legends of Runeterra, that I love.
Yeah.
And then I think they have a first-person shooter game as well. But I believe they do too.
Yeah, there's board games. Like, Riot's gotten big. But as Riot started to get successful, they started to put a ton of money into really interesting things, like these animations, these video shorts, 3-minute like previews, where they often give you these really great lore drops. Riot also did some crazy stuff with music over the last 10 years, Adam. Like, they've released a couple of albums, just straight up albums, where like there's no context within the game, right? Like, I think it started where, like, so these champions, you're gonna pick one, you're gonna go play it. There's skins for all of them. League of Legends is free to play, so they're built, their whole success has been built on the back of, I'm gonna say a dirty word, microtransactions. For those in like the gaming space, there's a lot of negative stuff to say about microtransactions, but that's how League makes its money. You fall in love with the Nivea, the Ice Phoenix. Well, here's 20 different skins that you could buy to put on a Nivea. Now she's like a Fire Phoenix. Now she's a Hextech Phoenix. There's all this cool different stuff. So they would come out with these themed skins. And the first one was Pentakill. And this was the name of the imaginary metal band that existed in Runeterra. And then they were like, how about we just like make the album? And then they did. And like, a lot of that music's really good. And they've come out with a couple of like albums over the years that are soundtracks kind of to nothing, to the idea of like this collection of skins for characters in the game. Anyway, a lot of this stuff exists in this space of like secondary materials, right? It's not right there in your face when you're playing the game League of Legends, but the deeper you get invested in the world and the characters and all of this stuff, there's so much of it for you to dive into. It's just not necessarily like cohesive or presented in any like collective fashion anywhere, right?
I think it's interesting because you're totally right. And I guess what they found, and this is based on just my intuition for playing the game for so long.
No, I want that intuition.
Is that like the average player doesn't care.
Yep.
True. And so I think that one of the traps that a lot of games, I say a lot of games, like I play a lot of games, I don't really play a ton of games, but I think that the average trap that a lot of games could fall into is giving you so much lore in the actual game itself before you actually get to the replayability of the game.
This
and
is
it doesn't do that. It doesn't do that at all. It gives you, I think the most that it will ever give you is like this little note on the loading screen of each game that might give you a little snippet fact of something.
Ionia is an island in the east.
Yeah, it could be something like dumb or like, you know, Ziggs's bombs are exactly two centimeters wide. Like, you know, it could be whatever. And that's like the most it gives you. Other than that, you're just like in the game and you're playing. You're not like, you know, burdened with all of this lore that I love, of course, but like, I don't think the average player cares.
Nope.
So I think what they found is that like the people who do care, you're giving it to them and they love it and they eat it up. And everyone who doesn't care doesn't have to see it and doesn't have to engage with it. And I think they've like struck a really great spot with it
because
I don't think it needs to be in the game. I think Arcane has proven to me that like the lore is fascinating enough that people who don't even play League of Legends can come in and like engage with it. And the people that do can still love it, but you can still play the game without having to, you know, dive into all the crazy stuff behind. So I think they've struck like an amazing balance and have like made some amazing decisions in that regard. Yeah.
Really smart game developers for exactly that point. Initially, when they presented the game, like you load into the game client and it used to have a monthly newsletter. It was like I forget what it was called now, but there was literally like a tab in the actual game engine where you could go get news from the world. Like, oh, Swain has made a play to take over Noxus. And they realized pretty quickly, nobody cares about this stuff, you know? And so they very like infamously abandoned it, and that Swain is making a play to take over Noxus sat in the game client for about 2 years. That was like the last news bulletin. It's why it's the only one I remember, you know. But to your point, like, they've done a great job at creating the material for the people who are interested in it, right? Because this is the thing, like, worth noting. For as much as I'll say, like, the game's not for everybody, don't even bother installing it, don't go play, the like secondary materials are really good. There's some like incredible stuff. These guys have spent a lot of money on like great animations. They've spent a lot of money on great music. And they've built some really cool stuff. And for the people like Adam and I who are like want to nerd out on the lore, it is right there and accessible for you. Another like interesting footnote, I am like looking at peak player count. So all time 2017, I think League had its highest average monthly players, and it was up over 100 million consistent players as of 2017. Right. Again, the esports scene is enormous, you guys. They consistently sell out places like the Staples Center, the Olympic like venue in Korea that they played in back in like 2018, you know, sold out in 2 hours, right? It's not like it takes days. And so again, as League a game is gaining popularity and the esports, for people who follow that stuff, they just like took over the entire esports scene by storm. It is the preeminent esport of the world still, League of Legends in 2021. So the World Championships come every year and it's like an international event. You have teams from Korea, from China, from like these wild card regions. You get places from Oceania and like down in South America, the North American teams, the European teams, all these major regions show up. They play. It's an event. It's just like any professional sporting league if you're into that kind of thing. And so I believe it was in 2017, might have been 2018. They were playing in Korea for Worlds. They go to a different region every year. They'll go to Korea this year, China next year, Europe, US, and kind of bounce around. The band Imagine Dragons turned out to be huge League of Legends nerds. I think one of them like tweeted about it, that they were on tour, that their song Radioactive had kind of just hit, taking the world by storm. They're like coming up big, they're playing their tour that summer, and as they're touring around the world, they're hanging out in the tour bus playing League of Legends non-stop. So Riot tapped them and was like, hey, you guys want to write us a song? And they did. And there's like this really great music video. I'm not like a huge Imagine Dragons fan, but there was this awesome music video that they released that was this song that's kind of inspired by League. And it was like this ultimate hype video for World Championship that year. And then they showed up and played the halftime show, right? So they're like intrinsically tied to Riot in this really fun way. They're legitimate fans of the game. The game designers are legitimate fans of them. They've worked together a lot over the last 5 years, and they have a huge presence in the show. Their music, I should say, not them as people, right?
Yeah, they definitely do. I think it was like, it was in 2014. I think I was a junior in high school, because we used to, you know, I was never really big into the, like, the weekly, you know, esports stuff, but like we would watch Worlds.
Yeah, you got to watch Worlds.
And so, you know, we saw it was probably like 3 a.m. or something ridiculous like that, because they were, you know, on the other side of the world. And so,
yeah, some years when it's in Korea. Yeah. I remember like setting my alarm for 2 o'clock in the morning to like get up to watch the group draw, you know?
You know, just like, at, you know, 1:59 a.m., five people would pop into the Discord, be like, all right, world's watching time, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be great stuff like that. So yeah, Imagine Dragons is like very much trying, and not even just them. I think it's like also notable. I'm going to talk about the music so much, which I freaking loved it. Every year, they like they create a song as like they this do. World's anthem, and every year it's so good. And so it's like this game company that just made like this, you know, this stupid game that I've played way too many hours of is like able to create this universe that is not only like so engaging, but like multiple games that I spend way too much time playing, this art, which is just ridiculously incredible. And then music. They like still get like this insane soundtrack. We like used a lot of their soundtrack. We played D&D and Bilgewater. It was like amazing background stuff to put on there. And I've definitely like listened to all of it on repeat while I'm like doing work or other stuff, just like hanging out. I love it.
I'm not going to lie. I love hearing that from you. For folks who don't know, Adam is the piano man. Adam is like a really accomplished and proficient musician. This fellow right here knows music. So I'm really excited to hear you talk about it, because I love music like as a, you know, complete like heathen. Like, I don't really academically understand anything about it. I don't know that I necessarily have like an ear for certain things, but I love music. It's always been a part of my life. And so I love those like type videos, man. The first one from 2013, I still like it, just like gets me every time, because they did this great thing where they did like an animated kind of cartoon thing, like music video for it, where they had the players from the actual teams playing in Worlds, these all-star players like embodied as the champions, right? And like it just was so freaking great. Xpeke as Cassidy, the Blitzcrank, like I could still see it, you know. And I've listened to a lot of those songs over and over again. Like, I'm not as finger on the pulse now as I was 5 years ago, but every year the Worlds music would come out and I just would get so hyped, dude. I really would be like delighted by it. So I'm super psyched to hear you like break down the music of the show, because it's very good music.
They do like an insane job for all the world stuff, but I think like the underreported note for me is, if you are going to download League of Legends to play the game, the actual music that's in the game I think is like very evocative of not only the champions that you're playing, but like the world that's there. And so the thing that I really loved with the show, that like I'm, you know, I don't know how much I'm actually gonna break down scene by scene or whatever, but like the way that they use different instrumentations and different like melodic structure to set the tone of like what the scene is trying to convey is like fascinating for me. And so when they're using like these shorter phrases that are all like ascending, when they're, you know, when they're going to Piltover from Zaun, versus like when they're using these darker, deeper tones of like Descension, I freaking love it. And so like the way that everything they do is so intentional and so like just nitpicky perfect, I love it. And you know, I could nerd out to like music stuff all freaking day.
Well, but
like
I think
it's so good.
We will do just that. This is why I'm really excited to have you here, right? Because a dear friend of mine who we play a bunch of League with, actually, somebody that I met through the RHAP world and like bonded with playing League of Legends over the last 10 years, Nate Tippy, he has said to me once, and I think it's like so insightful, that if an alien species landed on Earth and decided to themselves, we need to like mind control these humans, this entire species, what they would end up inventing is music, because like music emotionally does so much for us, I think, as people. And it's so subconscious, right? I think for most of us that don't have like formal kind of study or training or understanding of what's happening here, it's very easy to overlook how much work music does in like the storytelling of our contemporary lives. When you're watching TV, when you're watching like a movie, that like, oh, I'm crying at the dog food commercial. That's because like they're evoking like really incredible kind of like themes and music that like they can raise these emotions, draw them up out of us in ways that are just like, it's like magic to me, dude. Like I truly am like, how does this work? How does it work every time, Adam? It's like so incredible. So I can't wait to hear you talk about that with a bit more of like an informed eye and be able to like help me appreciate what's actually happening emotionally while I'm watching a bunch of this stuff, you know.
It's very cool. I'm you know, I'm gonna nerd out big time, but I love it.
I yeah, so again, like, you know, this is the preview show. And I can't like overstate enough. This is really good TV, you guys. It's very, very cool. Stylistically, the animation style is that kind of like computer generated. It kind of is almost like those clay figures. They're 3D rendered, but not quite. I'm not doing it justice. It's got like shades of comparison, maybe to like a Star Wars Rebels type show. And even like Clone Wars. And that's not inherently like, I don't fall in love with a lot of animated stuff, like straight up. It's not like my go-to for things. You know, I'm not like a huge anime watcher. I love certain things as much as anybody. I'll rewatch Gargoyles, the animated series, any day of the week. But I came into it like, okay, this isn't my thing. But the lighting and the cinematography and the actual like scene composition of some of these shots that are entirely computer generated is like second to none, you guys. Like I was struck by visually what they were doing with this very, very quickly. It's really good TV. It's working on every level, you know. I think that folks who have no clue this show even existed or what League of Legends is, there's something there for you, probably. Like, go scope it out, because I'm really excited to like dig into it. I know Adam is. Clearly, we both have like this very convoluted love affair with this game. But the show is unquestionably like just positive. It's just been a great experience. And to your point earlier, it's been wild to me how many people I know that like have played League for years, love League, and were like, this is freaking awesome. And then the number of people like, yeah, I didn't even know this was about League of Legends. I just like saw it on Netflix and turned it on and was like, wow, yeah. Wow, that's really good.
And I think like the other thing I would say to your point earlier, I don't really watch animated shows.
Nope.
I've like never been a huge fan. I catch a lot of flack for like not loving the Star Wars stuff and the stuff mm-hmm. adjacent to it. But like, I don't know, it's never done much for me. I love like the real person. I love the reality TV. I love the comedies and stuff like that. But good God, this show is good. Mm-hmm. And like the, you know, the hump that I have to get over to watch something that's animated is admittedly like decently big. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, within minutes, I think this show had like had me hooked, not only from the universe itself, but like from what they actually did with it. So give it a shot. Give it a go.
I think so. I will say this as like my last little bit, just generally my experience with the show. They released in like these 3-episode bundles, right? They dropped 3, they dropped another 3, they dropped another 3, 9 episodes all told. So I watched the first 3 and I walked away like, okay, that was good, but I was not like hooked in yet. Episode 3 ends really strong. I'll say this. Episode 4, I turned on like, oh, wow, now I'm really excited to see what the next 6 episodes here do. I think structurally, it reminded me a lot of Damon Lindelof's Watchmen. And I think it's because of this 9-episode structure. This is not like a thing we see a lot of, right? A 10-episode series, an 8-episode series, like that's pretty commonplace nowadays. And 9 episodes feels weird. But it's so effective at creating a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a really like well-told, cohesive story that like structurally, it's just like, we're going to pick some nits along the way. This is not a flawless work, but it's really impressive. And it took me a minute to get as invested as a lot of our friends. I saw in the conversation, like with a bunch of our friends in the Discord, we're like, yeah, we turned it on. And we're like, woof, immediately invested. And I think my reticence was because of my investment in the game. We start with a couple of characters familiar to the game. No spoilers, but Vi and Powder as she opens up. And they're young, they're children. And I was like, oh gosh, are we doing a prequel thing? Like, I'm less excited about a prequel than I am about seeing an interpretation of this world that tracks with the characters I know. But there's a time jump along the way. They just do a bunch of cool stuff structurally in this that I think is really impressive. Yep.
I loved it. Admittedly, I was one of the people that was in right from the very beginning. I think like probably 6 or 7 minutes in, I was like, all right, like this is it. I'm in, but I completely agree. Episode 3 ends so well. Just give it a shot. If you're 56 minutes into this, like spend the for next real 56 minutes watching.
Yeah, presumably if you've listened this much to Adam and I talk about it, it's because like you have some affection for one or the both of us, or you just need content in your life. And in either case, there's going to be more coming. So this is our little preview get hype episode. We're going to come back. We're going to do 3 episodes. We're going to cover the 9. If there's call for it at the end, we can come back afterwards for a kind of closing thoughts, feedback, discussion. You guys out there, like, let us know if you're listening to this, if you dig this, if you're excited to hear us talk about Arcane. I will say this before we part ways, it's probably worth putting out there. Content warning. It's pretty dark. This is not an animated show for your 8-year-old. There is a lot of violence. There is the death of children. We get into like some experimentation type stuff. I don't want to like spoil too much, but I do want to make sure I say that before we part ways to give you a little bit of an idea what you're getting into. Like, cause it really worked for me, and we'll talk about it specifically next time, but in these first 3 episodes, it gets heavy pretty quick. There's like a turn where you realize like this is not a light, fun, fluffy show. There's a lot of humor and it's very fun. Don't get me wrong, but there's some very dark themes. So just so you're braced for that, if that's the kind of thing that you're not looking to engage with, then be forewarned. But very good TV. And Adam and I are like overjoyed to find an excuse to hang out and podcast about a thing, let alone a thing we love this much. It's going to be fun, man.
I'm stoked.
Okay, cool. Anybody out there who's listening to this, if you're at the $5 a month level, maybe think about putting it up to 10. You could come hang out in the Discord with us where we talk about this stuff all the time. This was the whole like, the Discord is actually open to all. So maybe poke your head in and like say hi to the two of us in one of those general channels. If you're hearing this and you watched Arcane and are like psyched that there's going to be some coverage, let our fearless leader, Josh Wiggler, know that you're excited about it. And yeah, I think that covers me for now. Anything else in closing thoughts before we part?
No, just like give it a shot. I mean, you know, I've said it like 3 times now, but I really love the show. I'm like very excited to talk about it, very excited to like get into it. The lore is really great.
It is.
So, you know, if you love the world building element of just like storytelling, I think you're going to love what they're putting out.
I echo Adam's sentiments, and I just will add this final note. If you're gonna just throw away all the advice that the two of us gave you, and you've installed League of Legends because you fell in love with Arcane, you could DM us because you can add us.
Yeah, we'll play with you.
Yeah, way too late into the night. Adam, where should people be looking in the world to find the stuff that you are doing?
Oh, gosh. You can find me on Twitter, PianoManAdam1. I also podcast about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend with 2 of my very good friends, Todd the Librarian and TV Lindy. You can find us at 1indescribablepodcast. Or our Twitter at 1CXGpodcast. And then the other place you could find me is obviously around the Discord, of course, but you could find the musicals that we've done, our D&D musicals. You can find them in various locations around the Discord. And of course, if you want to find them, just let me know. We'd love to hook you up with them.
Adam has created some incredible Dungeons & Dragons musicals. If you've never played D&D, you don't need to appreciate what this fellow did. He gathered a bunch of our friends together to play through like some wild adventures that were then transformed into musicals. And they're really freaking good. And there's a lot of feedback from folks that have never rolled a single D20 in their life who were like, wow, this is impressive. Yeah, very good stuff. I am Rich Filiberto. I'm DM Philly. You can find me on Twitter at DM Philly. I do a bunch of stuff on twitch.tv/DM Philly. Adam is there with me sometimes. Right now, like sitting on the Twitch feed, is Adam's second musical, The Journey Home, the Marvel one-shot game that we did with the Everything is Super crossover, where Adam plays just one character, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, of course, just the one.
That was like an extraordinarily good time. But I run Dungeons & Dragons games. I run private games. If anybody out there wants to hire me to run for your friends or your family or your kids or anything like that, hit me up. We will be back again. Thank you all for joining us. Goodbye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.